Today, I want to speak about the education and cultural history of Quakerism in modern times, especially the liberalizing movement of modern times. Like most of the subjects I'm dealing with, Albert Russell's one volume history has a chapter on this, chapter 36, I think it is, and I'm simply giving in somewhat different form the kinds of things that belong under the heading. As you recall, Quakerism began almost an anti-educational and an anti-cultural movement. Education in England was mainly, at least higher education, was mainly for training for the professional ministry, studying Hebrew and Greek and Latin, which, as George Fox said, were the languages that Pilate knew. That wasn't a very good precedent for theological education. But there was no other university education in the early days, and there was very little more elementary education. There was no systematic plan in England of public education, and therefore there was no special reason why friends should be interested in education. They were long suspicious of education as being either too secular or too theological, and either way it was out from the Quaker Quietist point of view. There's a line of Whittier which says, where man is least, there God is most. And the less man, the less human, the less based on secular life, the better it was for the Quakers. But in spite of that, even in Fox's time, there was really, contrary to this theory at least, an interest in practical education for young people. And you've already been exposed to some discussion of the features of Quaker education, which were pioneering elements. George Fox, with characteristic use of the word creation, which you remember in his journal, said he wanted the young friends brought up, the children of friends brought up, in whatever was civil and useful in creation. Now, creation means a secular world. And therefore, he did encourage education. And most strikingly of all, he encouraged it for girls as much as boys. He encouraged the foundation of elementary schools for Quaker children. Local day schools and boarding schools. And there were a number in his lifetime in England. When Pennsylvania was founded, William Penn provided very early for education, not only for friends, but for the general public. And you may know that the William Penn Charter School is either the oldest or next to the oldest continuous school in America. And that was founded by William Penn. A succession of charters, the last of which I think was 1701. These schools were not for teaching Quakerism. They were for teaching useful things for secular life. It was done with the same idea of training children so they would not be a public charge. It was part of the same interest that poor relief was, or apprenticing of friends so that they could make their own living in a respectable way. Therefore, there was no sectarian teaching in the schools. I mean, there was no, in the curriculum, there was no course in Quakerism in the schools. There were certain things in the regular courses that were perhaps a little different, and perhaps some things different about the discipline. Violence, as you know, was a very prominent element. Spare the rod and spoil the child, that sort of thing was a very common thing in children's education. The friends experimented in less use of the rod than other people, I'll have to only put it that way. Then in the curriculum subjects, there were one or two things that they excluded that in some schools might have been included. They did study foreign languages, including Latin, perhaps most important at first. And in Latin, some of the texts commonly used are mythological texts. That is, they deal with pagan religion. Virgil's Aeneid, for instance, or Ovid's Metamorphoses, or some of the textbooks were not congenial to friends because of their paganism. And textbooks were written, Latin textbooks, less objectionable reading lessons than those that dealt with pagan gods, at least from the Quaker point of view. Remember how scrupulous they were even not to use the modern English words that had the names of pagan gods, like the days of the week and the month. And you could see if they're going to object to saying Saturday or March, they might well object to stories that had Saturn and Mars as principal characters in the stories. They objected also to drama until quite recent times. Matter of fact, they've objected to drama. Why? Because in the first place it's fiction and not truth. And secondly, because it is connected or was connected with a profession, the actor's profession, which was known to be pretty lax in morals. Not to encourage a profession which led to unusual temptations and excesses, they tabooed even in literature. Certainly they wouldn't stage a play themselves in their schools. It must be obvious to you that Quaker institutions have overcome this. Among the most prized possessions at Haverford are certain old editions of Shakespeare, are they not? And among the most prized activities on the Quaker campuses are amateur theatricals of various kinds. Fiction also was taboo on the ground that it was not true, it was false, and that history was as interesting and as useful as fiction. Stranger than fiction, we sometimes read, and I think we sometimes feel more interesting than fiction. So that with those restrictions, they did, in spite of a theory, become pioneers in establishing schools. Many of the schools were under the care of the meeting. In this country, for example, when they first settled, almost before they built their own homes and cleared away the woodland so they could have a place to live, they'd build a meeting house, and they'd clear enough ground for a schoolhouse next to it and for a graveyard next to that. The regular combination is Quakers past, present, and future. Is the meeting house for the contemporaries, the schoolhouse for future friends, and the graveyard for friends of the past. This was the real estate setup. I guess you don't have to go very far to the north of this campus, do you, to see those three items all on a single piece of real estate. Now, that not only was early, but continued, and was part of the center of Quaker life, the school and the meeting. And between them, they made a cultural center and a cultural community. I'm using culture now in the sense of a mode of civilization. Quakerism became a somewhat intensive, self-contained culture. The school and the meeting and the community were a little calm, no matter how close they were to other settlements. And of course, in the spread of Western into the West of America, these stepping stones of Quakerism right across the country remain, or at least their memory remains. Very often they carry the names forward. If you take the word certain proper names like Salem, you go through the map of the United States and you move from Salem, New England, to Salem, New Jersey, to Salem, North Carolina, to Salem, Ohio, to Salem, Indiana, to Salem, Oregon. They're all Quaker communities. Don't know why they kept that name, or it's an Old Testament name, but this is the way, this is what Quakerism looks on the map of America. These are centers of Quaker settlement. The result of these schools meant that before the public education was established, the Quakers, instead of being less educated, at least on this grade, on this level, were more educated. And since higher education for a long time was a minor aspect of American life and of British life, it meant that on this lower level, secondary, primary education, friends were better educated than their neighbors. In the course of time in America, these Quaker schools yielded to the public education system, and state after state adopted laws of public education. The Quaker schools, most of them, turned over. They already, they had not excluded non-Quakers from their schools. Very few exceptions. They were established for the sake of the friends, and they were in the friends' community, taught by friends and managed by friends, sometimes by a friends' meeting, but very often by a venturesome Quaker on his own, that is, his own economic venture. The income wasn't very great, but if he had a schoolhouse and a little piece of land for a garden and a cow and a few pupils, he could meet his expenses and had a rather happy life. Some of these early Quaker schoolmasters in this area became quite famous as such. Boarding schools were first established in America about the end of the 18th century. I suppose actually the oldest was at Nine Partners, New York, and ultimately, after some shifts, became Oakwood School. But the oldest American school on the same location, boarding school, is Westtown School, founded in 1799. 20 years before that, a school in Yorkshire had been found in England, a boarding school under the name called Ackworth School. And that school was sort of the pioneer in co-education, boarding co-education. I don't need to say anything about the practical value of these schools for having boys and girls that knew the three R's and could be helpful. They would be helpful in their profession later. But it had some influence on non-friends, the school did, and have to the present time. I sometimes think much more influence upon non-friends than on friends. And in some ways, they have been an indirect form of propaganda. Quakerism has been renewed from generation to generation, partly by non-friends who were exposed to Quakerism, not in the classroom, but in the life of the community, and by attending, as they were compelled to do, meeting for worship. All these schools were near enough a meeting, you see, so that every week, on some weekday, and in the boarding schools oftener than that, they attended a friends' meeting. They learned something in this way about Quakers. But they learned almost nothing directly in the way of formal religious education or formal Quaker education. Almost nothing. Friends schools have been in modern times a form of foreign Quaker missions. In a great many of the foreign fields where friends have worked, they have laid even more stress on education than they have on Christian conversion in the non-Christian lands. So that I'm thinking of one country, in Kenya, the Quakers have a very large system of Quaker schools. Schools, I say, but under the direction of Quakers.